Okay.
We left off on the Tesemet Aleph with another statement of Rav Asi. Rav Asi didn't only speak about the world of Ksafim and Karka. Rav Huna. The statement to Rav Huna. Rav Huna didn't only deal with the world of Kesef, Meitav, etc. Rav Huna also dealt with the world of mitzvahs. Amar Bizera, Amar Rav Huna, the mitzvah ad shlish, my shlish, ilema shlish beso, ela me'ata, yisrami le, tzvasa mitzvasa, leisa lukuhu beso, ela mar Bizera, da da da. In other words, the Gemara over here is making a certain assumption, and Tosos, Dibre Maskil, ilema, builds on that assumption, namely that there is some cap, some monetary cap on the world of mitzvos. That even if we're dealing with a mitzvah overis, that it, in other words, im lo'ach shavei masai, avar zmano batal korbano, b'chol zot, if it's going to cost more than a certain amount of money, then one's patur. And the Gemara says that clearly, if it's going to cost all your money, then you're potter. But even if it would cost a third of your money, you're going to be potter, because we can't have a situation where three mitzvahs and you're out. After three mitzvahs, you have no money left. But if we're not going to use either of these shoes, we're not going to say that a person has to spend all his money or spend a third of his money. So how much? What is really the glass ceiling in the world of spending on mitzvahs? So here we have Tosfos. Mashna, ain't sarach levazveis koma monolik not esrog, afilu lo yimtza lepachos, v'havye mitzvah overes, v'afilu shlish beso mashna dolo mechuyav. However, points out Tosfos, amrim hamavazveis al yevazveis yoser mei chomesh. That we have a concept of not spending more than what appears to be a fifth of your nechasim. That's the Gemara in Ksuvus. What's the context over there of the Gemara in Ksuvus? What is it talking about the world of mitzvahs asei? What's the Gemara over there talking about? Let's look together. Amar Aviloi, Be'usha Hiskino Mevazbez, Al Yevaziz Yosher Mechomesh, Tanyan Amihochim Mevazbez, Evaziz Yosher Mechomesh, Shamitzerach Labrios, Maikra Kolasher Titen Liaser Asrenaloch, Rashi Mevazbez La'aniyim. The context over there is the world of tzedaka. That in the world of tzedaka, one has an upper limit in terms of tzedaka. One shouldn't give more than a fifth. At least you'll reach a point where you'll become an ani. And that's the Rambam in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim. Bo ani v'shal de machsoro. The ani is asking properly. De machsoro asher yachsaro. The Torah says every individual is allowed to make such a request from the Jewish people. Ve'ein yad ha-nosein masegas. So nosein lo kefi hasagas yada v'kama. In other words, what's considered to be hasagas yada? What's considered to be the amount that a person maximally should give? Chamishis minachasav mitzvah min hamuvchar. Echad me'asara minachasav, we call ma'aser ksafim. That's benoni, pachos mikan, ayin ra, etc. So what over here is, Tosis is speaking about the world of mitzvahs. He gives the example of esrog, and he brings the raya from the Gemara in Ksuvus, which is talking about the world of tzedaka. So you saw that the Rambam himself expands the Gemara in Ksuvus to apply not only to tzedaka but to all mitzvahs, and that's the Rambam in Hilchos Erech in Perakei Alacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam always ends off his sections of halacha with Musar, and this is the Musar that ends off Hilchos Erechin v'charamim, la'olam lo yakdish adam v'lo yachrim kol nechasav. You should never go all the way, go all out. Osekan over al da'as hakosuv. Hari hu omer mikol asher lo, v'lo kol asher lo, kamo shebiru chachamim. Person has to be medayik in the language of the Torah. Ve'ein zu chasidus, and a person say, well, I want to go me'alu me'ever, giving all of your nechasim to buy korbanos, giving all of your nechasim to build a shul, ain't zo chasidus elo shtus. Sharehu ma'abe koma manav yitztarach l'abrios. All he's doing is adding another person to the welfare list himself. Vein merachamim alav. He did it to himself. And Chazal warned him. Ubezek kayotzi bar mechachamim chasid shote michlal mevalei ola. Ela kol ha-mefazer mamono b'mitzvos. Right, over here, we're not talking about staka. We're talking about kodshim. We're talking about charamos. We're talking about mitzvos. Ha-mefazer mamono b'mitzvos ayifazer yoser mei chomesh. Okay? V'yekamosh etzivu ha-neviyim mechalkel dvarav b'mishpat. In other words, that a person has to make a balance in his life, bein b'divrei Torah, bein b'divrei olam, in all areas of his life. This is the Rambam's golden mean. So over here as well, v'afilu b'karbanos shechayev behen arichosa Torah al hamama, yavi kafi misas yado, kavachomet ramshalones chayev behen, da da da. Okay? So we have the concept that a person has to take into account his income level and then build that glass ceiling of a chomesh, and going beyond that, says the Rambam, the individual would be a chassid shoten. I mean, there's no room for a midas chassidus. Not every mitzvah lends itself to be elastic. We learned last year, Masech HaSukkah, that if it's raining in the sukkah and the person says, I want to be a chassid, I want to be machmir myself, it's not a chassidus, it's a chassid shoten. And so over here, this is the Rambam uses this language. The problem is that we have a third Rambam. In other words, that we have a Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayis on Peya, where the Rambam speaks about Gemilas Chasodim, Eilu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shir, Peya, right? In other words, U Gemilas Chasodim, Ein La Shir. So the Rambam says, on the level of Gemilas Chasodim, the goof, how are you going to spend your time, you know, to go visit people in the hospitals, etc.? Ein La Shir. When it comes to giving from your from your bank account, as we saw in the Rambam, both in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim and in Erchin V'Charamim. But then the Rambam continues, Eino chayev lases yoser mechamishis mamono, ela im asa kein b'midas chasidus. The Rambam says that there is a midas chasidus. He says that we're talking over here. If you want to know, what's your chiyuv? Your chiyuv is mida benonis meiser. In other words, if you want to go mitzvah min hamuvchar chamishis, and if you want to go beyond mitzvah min hamuvchar, go to it. It's a midas chasidus. Elim ki, you just have to be aware that you're going above and beyond. But the Rambam doesn't call this a chasid shote. He says this is midas chasidus. You know, so how does one deal with this Rambam? I mean, unless you want to say, or take the easy way out and say, well, the Rambam was Chozerbo. At first he wrote his Perush HaMishnayis, and when he got to the Mishnah Torah, he was Chozerbo. But if you don't want to say that, is there a way of for inferring the Rambam from what we've seen? From what we've seen within the Rambam. In other words, is there sort of even a hint to the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayis within the Rambams in Mishnah Torah? Yes?
In the last Rambam, he said he also brought the Gemara about the way of fifth, but maybe that could just be like an Eitz HaTovah, but it could still be Midas Chasidus.
I don't think that would, in other words, nachon. In other words, ma'abed kol mamono, etc. But the Rambam says, amafazer al yefazer yoser mechomesh al yefazer. Namely, we have a problem of giving more than a chomesh. That we'll see later on in Rabbeinu Hananel. We'll see that there may be a difference between rich people and poor people, but the Rambam Perush Mishnayis doesn't appear to make that distinction. There is a sefer, it's a very, very beautiful sefer. It's like one of those Sfarim that if you want, like, nighttime reading before going to bed. So, you know, it's so one of them would be the Kovach Shiur of Rav Elchanan. That, you know, it's just nice, you know, it's nice conceptual Torah. And another one, which is nice conceptual Torah, is there was a Talmud of the Briska Rav of Aryeh Peremchik, who wrote two Svarim, one Torah Zroyim, and the other Emet Bracha. One on Orach Chaim and one on Seder Zerayim. Very, very beautiful. So over here in Peah, in other words, on the Mishnah in Peah, and it's a Sefer Torah Zerayim, I think it's about page 11. It's in the Beis Medrash. He says, the Rambam, there are two Rambams. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, and there's a Rambam in Hilchos Erechen V'charamim. Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, the Rambam doesn't speak about Isurim. The Rambam speaks about the fact that you don't have to give more than Chamishis Minachasav. But the concept of Al Yefazer Yoser, that we only find in Erechen V'charamim. Namely, that we pointed out that the original Gemara is talking about tzedaka, and then it's expanded to the world of mitzvahs. So it's on the level of tzedaka and achiname. You don't have to give more than a fifth. But if you want to, vakasha, go for it. That's a midas chasidus. In other words, there's no reason why one shouldn't have a midas chasidus when someone comes to you and he asks for money. You should know, you don't have to give more than a fifth. But if you want to, vakasha, masha enki, when it comes to the rest of the world of mitzvahs, when it comes to buying an esrog, when it comes to donating to a shul, when it comes to donating to the Gruz Kollel, when it comes to buying the gabaya hat or something like that, it's all of these matters. So then there's an upper limit. There you have, that's already a chassid shota, and I think it fits in very, very nicely. That you could have asked, why did the Rambam wait until Hilchos Arachin v'Charamim? It's to bring all of this. This chassid shota, etc. Why don't you put in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim? That's where it begins. That's what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about the world of Ani. Why not put it over there? So the answer is because in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, really there is a midas chassidus in terms of the world of giving tzedaka. Masha Enkein, in the world of expanding it to the world of mitzvahs, there it appears we have an upper limit. So I think that's a good way of learning it. But yes? Basically, yes. In other words, the world of Gemilas Chasadim is the world of Ben Adam L'Chavera, correct. And that's the Ramchal in Shara Chasidus divides it that way, yes?
Would Rashi in the Gemara Mishumas disagree with this? He wrote that Gemara is Dafkodong and Staka.
That Gemara is talking about Staka. Now, within that Gemara, you do have the phrase of Al Yevazveis Yoser. But the question is that Al Chachila, is that a Bidiyevet, is that etc., etc.? So it's hard to say. I don't know what Rashi would say. I don't know whether he would have this mitzvah or not. Yes?
So after, by
mitzvahs,
after he spends a fifth, it's not considered bitter anymore?
It's Pumfaker, right. You're a Shota. Someone says, I spent $1,000 for this Esrog. And that he only has in his bank account $3,000. So you said that's not, it's Kavanatecha Ritzuyos, Avamasecha Lo Ritzuyos. That's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. That's not the way a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to live your life. But the question is, why not? In other words, why should there be an upper limit on mitzvah saseh? Is there, can a mitzvah be dealt with in terms of a price? It sounds very American. That everything is a question of money. In other words, is there really a price tag on a mitzvah? And beyond that, that mitzvah is too expensive for me. A mitzvah is olam hava, and money is only olam hasa. Our Gemara implies that there is such a glass ceiling. It's not all of your nechasim, and it's not a third of your nechasim. What is it? Says Tosas, we'll take our cue from the Gemara in Ksuvos and expand it to the world of mitzvos. But where? How did the Gemara in Ksuvos come to any ceiling? In other words, a mitzvah, it's the word of God. What's it got to do with money? Isn't that what you're taught in Shana Aleph or Shana Bet? What's money? The Iker is mitzvos. Right? It's a kind of bitachon. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. If you buy a lottery ticket, you do your shtadlus. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. And you do mitzvahs. That's what life is all about. Who was bothered by this question? The Ravid. The Ravid asked this question. The Ravid wasn't afraid to ask questions. The Ravid asked this question straight out, and he gives an answer. Okay, so since you're all aware that I've upset Bar Ilan for not having the Ravid, but over here, the Rashba, Baruch Hashem, quotes the Ravid, and the Bar Ilan has the Rashba. Because of a Ravid, V'zeh tema ech nasnu damim lemitzvah overis. How can you give a price tag to a mitzvah that it's gonna, you're gonna lose it? You know, you say, well, esrogim are too expensive this year. Zehu, and it was so you lost the mitzvah. You lost the mitzvah because it's too expensive, and you want to say that this is a gemara. Kazav harayved kidei shelo yava lidei oni v'yapil atzmo al hatzibur. Ukumosha amru ase shabbat chachol ve'al titzarech abrios v'chein amru mevaz ve'zayvaz beziosa mechomesh sheha'oni kamisa. Adkan the Ravid. After that, beyond that is the Rashba already. In other words, what basically, if we take the Ravid literally, what is the Ravid telling us? What's the heter over here? We have a rule that except for avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shlichus damim, that there's a din of mesiras nefesh, but aside from those three, we have a din of v'chai b'hem. And if you're going to kill yourself to do a mitzvah, that's a chasin shota. You know, and if someone tells you, be machal Shabbos or I'll kill you, you're supposed to be machal Shabbos. In other words, that's v'chai b'hem. We're supposed to live. That's the Jews in the concentration camps, right? In other words, they had to live. They had to live. And avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shvichus damim, that's already beyond the pale. There it's better to die. But do other mitzvahs, so we're mavater on the mitzvah for life. And if we're going to define oni as death, so you're not supposed to make yourself dead to do a mitzvah. And that's what this is based on. That's what the Gemara says. Ayivazbez yoser mechomesh, shema yitztarech labrios, that you're not supposed to kill yourself in order to do a mitzvah. That's the heter. The heter is v'chai v'hem. That if someone were to tell you, you know, where it's... I'll kill you if you're no tel arba minim, so you're not no tel arba minim. So if arba minim costs more than a chomesh, then you're killing yourself. So says the Ravid, don't take that literal. Says the Rashba, the Ravid over here didn't mean that. Because had the Ravid meant that, then what? Umikom akom lo kamisa mama shemaharav shelo amru ela b'mitzus aseh b'shevi al taseh vol mitzus lo taseh. Afilu koma mono. In other words, had the Ravid been correct, there would be no nafkamina between eating trefos and being no tel arba minim. That if I'm going to make myself poor by buying kosher food, according to this line of reasoning, I'm potter. I don't have to kill myself for kosher food. In other words, but the halacha is, nachon, I don't have to kill myself for kosher food, but I have to pay all the money possible for kosher food. Namely, that one is not allowed to do, the whole concept over here of the glass ceiling is in terms of mitzvahs aseh. But mitzvahs lo taseh, I mean, everyone knows, you know, that your great-grandparents who came to America at the turn of the century and were told, either you work on Shabbos or you're going to be fired, they were fired. Ay v'chai b'hem, in other words, that they'll be poor, they don't have a parnasa. So the answer is that the Ravid is not, doesn't mean, you shouldn't take the Ravid literally, that we have a halacha, that when it comes to lo taseh kol malacha, Even at the expense of all of your money, there's no het there. So it can't be that over here, being poor is considered to be death. Were that to be the case, then this principle of al yavazbe should apply not only to mitzvahs aseh, but also to mitzvahs lo taseh. And no one holds that way. So what then does the Ravid mean according to the Rashba? I mean, the Rashba over here is quoting the Ravid, and he's simply telling you the Ravid's using a bit of hyperbole. You know, he's exaggerating. That really, it's not, don't take the Ravid literally. Lo kamisa mamash. Because then it wouldn't fit into the halacha. The halacha is that for lo taseh afilu kol mamono, the heter over here of the glass ceiling of the price tag is only mitzvah aseh. So how did you then understand the Ravid? Terminology is used in the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Havacha, v'chulei, v'chulei. What is this based on? We have a rule, Ones Rachmana Patre, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exempts us from our obligations in situations of Ones. We have a concept of Ones Mamon. And the Ravid is telling us is that in the world of mitzvos asei, in which our not being mekayim in the mitzvah is a shevi al taseh, being passive and not being no tel arba minim, ones mamon is considered to be onus. Onus mamon is considered to be the world of onus rachmana patre. He never said it in the world of mitzvos lo tase, but he said it in the world of mitzvos ase, that we have a concept of onus mamon. In other words, and so in every situation, we have to look and see, and this is, that's the concept of ase shabbat chachol va'al titztarach lebrios, you will have an onus mamon in the world of mitzvos ase. And so you won't have onus Shabbos this Shabbos. And the ikar is, in other words, your potter. Ase Shabbat Chachol ve'al titztarach labrios. And according to the Rambam, in other words, if you went beyond this halacha, it's like sitting in the sukkah in the rain. In other words, you're a chassid shota, except in the world of tzedakah. So we have this world of onus mamon, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Mi she'en lo esro, go shar mitzvah overes, ein tzarech levaz bez aleha hon rav, kamo she'amram levaz bez evaz yisum mechomash afilu mitzvah overes, dafka mitzvah asay. That here we have this principle that onus mamon is considered to be mamon. Avolota asay yiten kom amono kodem she'yavor, rashba v'raivet. Namely, had we taken the Ravid literally, then there would be no distinction between an Aseh and Lot Aseh, but we follow the Rashba that the Ravid never meant it literally. He meant it figuratively. So, in other words, anytime that we're going to be asked to be over an Aveira that, and it has to do with our Parnasa, we have to ask ourselves, are we dealing with a Mrs. Aseh or Mrs. Lot Aseh? This is the Tshuva of Rav Moshe, right? The Rav Moshe, just 1 second, has a famous tshuva of the individual in Denver who wants to get a job in an insurance company, and he's told he's only going to be able to get the job if he takes off his kippah for the interview. Once he has his job, he can do whatever he wants, but he has to take off the kippah for the interview. And the question is he allowed to? So Moshe says, well, it would depend. If wearing a kippah is in the world of asei, so hamavazbeis, al yavazbeis, yosei mechomesh, this is his whole parnasa. He would be allowed to take it off. If, however, wearing a kippah is an issue of a lotase, then he'd have to lose the job the same way that he would lose it if he was asked to be machal al Shabbos. And he points out, we have over here machlokas, the Magen Avraham and the Taz. The Magen Avraham claims that wearing a kippah is a midat chasidut. A midat chasidut is, basically a minog Yisrael. And a minog Yisrael is here in the world of Aseh. You have Aseh Doraisa, you have Aseh Drabanan, and you'd have an Aseh of a minog. And so according to the Magen Avraham, he would be allowed to take off the kippah to make a parnasa. Mashenkin the Taz says that the problem of the issue of going Begili Rosh is one of Bechuk Oseihem Lo Seilechu, that the Goyim used to, have a rule. That part of their religion was to walk Begili Rosh, and so we would have a lo tase of being over B'chuk Oseihem, and according to that, one would not be allowed to go Begili Rosh in order to be able to get a job. So Rav Moshe over there paskins that since that B'chuk Oseihem doesn't apply to America, in America whether people wear hats or don't wear hats depends upon the weather, doesn't depend upon religion. There's no b'chuk oseihem. It's only an issue of a minhag tov. So that one not only one can, Rav Moshe says, but one should be a mevatra in order to be able to get a parnasa. Okay. So in other words, so this distinction between aseh and lo taseh has a lot of halach lamaisa ramifications. I'm sorry, you wanted to ask Yaakov.
The onus mamon, is that still the shear of a fifth, though?
Yeah, we're defining. It was Chazal defined what is considered to be onus mamon. Does this apply also to people who are in Forbes 100 richest people in the world? That we'll see, before the end of the year.
Earlier, that we saw, that even if he's a millionaire, but he loses a little bit, he's considered an oni because he's not at his standard. I mean, we wouldn't say that.
So we'll see that, or is that this is, the Rishonim already talk about this, and the Akronim talk about it as well. I sent you to a Bir Halacha in Hilchot, in Siman Tafresh Din Vav, I'm sorry I didn't put it on the page, but the Bir Halacha basically says that the whole this whole din in Shulchan Aruch, right, of the concept of Hamavazbez Yosef Mechomesh, that it applies to the world of mitzvahs in general. This is our sugya. This is our tosos. Our tosos is the source of that sif in Shulchan Aruch that expands the Gemara in Ksuvas to the world of mitzvahs in general. And then he says, however, don't we have sugyas that appear to go in the opposite direction? if you're basing yourself on a tosos who builds himself on an expansion of a sugya in Ksuvas, you have to ask. You know, we don't have any stiros. And he says, b'chara, we have two stiras. We have a stira from a Gemara in Kedushin, which deals with someone who only has in his pocket five slime. That's all he has to his name. He has five slime. You know, someone says, how much money do you have? He says, five slime. And he has in front of him two mitzvahs. Should he use his five slime for Pidyon HaBen? Or should he use his five slime for Aliyah LeRegel? And the question is what he should do. So the Gemara says he should do one of the two, but why? In other words, isn't there a price tag on mitzvos? Both of these are mitzvos asei. Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvos asei. Aliyah LeRegel is a mitzvos asei. So that it appears that Gemara says that a person should make himself broke to do mitzvos. A. B. In other words, we have a Gemara that even an ani who is over al hapsachim should beg for money for Ner Chanukah, should beg for money for Arba Koso. So you see, even someone who has nothing has to beg for money. So l'chora kal v'chomer, that someone who has something should pay for that, for the mitzvah. In other words, don't we have Gemaras that imply that, like the Ravitz question, that there's no price tag on mitzvahs, that mitzvahs is the be-all and end-all of our existence in this world? With an arichus, the Mishnah Brura, basically what he says is, no. What our Gemara is telling us is that a person should not turn himself from an ashir to an ani because of a mitzvah. A person should not become an ani because of a mitzvah. That's where we have the glass ceiling. But if a person has five slime in his pocket, but he has a regular income, next week he'll earn another five, and the following week another five. He's not making himself into an ani, in other words, by paying for the mitzvah. So the question is just, what does he do with his money? Buy this or that? But he, in other words, he doesn't have a lot, he doesn't have a bank account, but he has a regular job. He has a regular job, he's not an ani. So we're not talking about that person who has a regular job and is not an ani. We're talking about a person who's not, doesn't have a regular job and will become an ani. That's where we have the issue of the glass ceiling, A. And we're not talking about a person who's already an ani. Person who's already an ani, he's begging. So the same way that he begs for food, he should beg for mitzvahs. Certain mitzvahs also he should beg for. He's already an ani. Namely, if a person is already an ani, this Gemara doesn't talk to him. If a person has a regular income coming in, and if he pays for this mitzvah, the income will still consider coming in, he's not an ani. We're talking about a case of someone who currently has money, and if he puts it all into mitzvahs, he's not going to have anything. He's not going to have anything. Okay? All he has is his wedding money. That's all he has. He doesn't have a job. And if he puts all his wedding money into a certain mitzvah, he's going to end up with nothing. So then we say, Hamavazbez, Ayavazbez, Yoser, Mechomesh. That's the case of our Gemara. Okay? So just to put it into the context of life. Okay, that's what the Mishnah Berurah points out. Okay, let's move over, Birshutchem, to the world, to the answer of the Gemara. Yes?
Why, if someone's already an ani, do we just like not?
First, we say that.
Do we want him to not be an ani?
No, we want him not to be an ani, but if already, in other words, we're not sending him out to go on the welfare. He's already on welfare. He's already going around. In other words, this is not Shema Yitzarach Labrios. He's already Tzarach Labrios. So we say that even that ani, for certain mitzvos of Pirsume Nisa, of Arba Kosos and their Chanukah, once he's already asking for clothing and for shoes, he should also ask for these mitzvos of Pirsume Nisa, namely that the Jewish people will understand that there shouldn't be a Jew who doesn't have Arba Kosos. The Jewish people understand there shouldn't be a Jew who will not light Hanukkah candles, which is very fascinating, that if you, I forget about the, I don't know what goes on in America with the Pew studies, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's almost no family, irrelevant what level of religiosity or non-religiosity, doesn't have a Seder on the night of Pesach. There's almost no family, irrelevant of religiosity, who doesn't light Hanukkah candles in Eretz Yisrael. After those mitzvahs, you know, that are considered to be the presume nisa, that afilu ani, hachosher hapsachin, you know, it's going into the Jewish consciousness that they're not, they're mechal Shabbos, but they're going to light Hanukkah candles. In other words, it's a very fascinating concept. My wife and I many times went down to Eilat during the 2 days of Hanukkah vacation of the Kollel. So, you walk by, just walking in the street, it's like, harav, they wrote Hanukkah, but, you know, Shetasev Racha. They view it, a rabbi walked by, he can light the Hanukkah candles for them. In other words, it's something which is built in. So over here, that's what's being pointed out by the Gemara. And that's not against the concept of a mevazbeis, al yevazbeis yoseh mechomesh. But our Gemara simply took, Rabbi Zera spoke about a shlish, right? Amar Rabbi Zera of Huna mitzvah ad shlish. It doesn't refer to the world of mitzvahs in general, because there we pointed out that we have a different shir, Tosas pointed out, a shir of a chomesh. So what was Rabbi Zera relating to? Elo, Amar Rabbi Zera, behidur mitzvah ad shlish the mitzvah. So, in terms, if we're dealing with Hidur Mitzvah, so first let's just give an overview of Hidur Mitzvah and then see how the Shlish fits into the world of Hidur Mitzvah. So, the classic world of Hidur Mitzvah is that which we find in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, that the Torah says in Shiras Hayam, Zekeli Va'anvehu. The word anveyu comes from the language of noi, of beauty. The anveyu hisnoi lefanav mitzvos. Asei lefanav suka na'a, lulav na'a, shofar na'a, tzitzis na'a, sefer Torah na'a, uksov bo lishmo bidyo na'a, kulmus na'a, lavlar uman, v'korcho b'shirayin na'i. That mitzvos should be beautified. That there is an aesthetic sense to the world of mitzvos. You should walk into a shul and feel a sense of beauty. Particularly, as you open the Aron Kodesh, you feel a radiance of beauty surrounding the Sifrei Torah. That's very, 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 you walk into the Kollel classroom, you have nice tables, you have nice chairs, right? Okay, you have all sorts of technological gadgets. In other words, it's not a lefanav. In other words, even if, when you're post-high school, you don't get all this, but you're in a kollel. So, in other words, it's not the fun of the mitzvahs. Okay, so had that been the be-all and end-all, we would have a tremendous problem with Rashi. Because Rashi in Sukkah, on Daf Kaftasim at base, points out that the Mishnah says that a lulav yavesh is pasul. Explains Rashi, the be'inan mitzvah mehuderes tichsiv anvehu. Tosas goes ballistic. What in the world are you talking about? The world of Anvehu is a world of Lechatchila. That's not a Ma'akev. That doesn't turn something into puzzle. If it's not aesthetic, it's going to be puzzle. It's nice that a Sefer Torah have a beautiful mantle, but if it doesn't puzzle the Sefer Torah, and it brings a raya, that we have a mitzvah le'ogdo, we have a mitzvah to bind the Arba Minim together, according to the Rabbanon, it's because of Zekei Liva and Veyu that it looks much nicer when it's bound together instead of having everything, falling all over the place. Rav Soloveitchik wanted his son Chaim very much to be a Rosh Yeshiva, and so there was a period of 2 years where he asked him to try to be a Rosh Yeshiva. At that time, I was in the Rav Shir, and he asked a number of us to go to learn by his son. It's in the yeshiva. He gave his son a shir, and so he asked about a minion of us to go to learn by Chaim Soloveitchik. So it was a fascinating 2 years, but in other words, he viewed it that we used to take notes and put our notes, on pages within the Gemara. And he said, that's yeshiva shebatlanus. that all of a sudden the Gemara is going to drop. Pages are going to go all over the place. You have no idea what's first, what's second. Have a notebook. Have a normal notebook, etc. That's the in other words, that's the ego. In other words, as va'anveyu, to hold things together. In other words, otherwise you're going to lose things. So there's an inyan that the arba minim should be all held together. If they're not all held together, it's still kosher. So how can Rashi build a psul based on zekeri va'anveyu? So the classic risker Torah is that there are tzvei dinim of zekeli va'anveyu. That one is a world of pure aesthetics, and that world of pure aesthetics is the lechatchila. However, there's another world in which the mitzvah itself changes character because of va'anveyu. The va'anveyu enters into the world of the mitzvah. And the Rav gave three examples. One, of course, is lulav, right? Then a lulav yavesh. In other words, the anveyu is part and parcel of the mitzvah, and if it's missing, the mitzvah is missing. The second is the Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara says that a Sefer Torah that was written, shelo lishma, and then you took the quill, and you wrote over the Shemot, the Yudke Vavke's lishma. So even if we say that is considered to turn those Shemos into Shemos, it gives them the status of a shame, because of the new writing, but the Sefer Torah is pasul. Why should the Sefer Torah be pasul? So the Gemara says, "Be'inam zekeli va'anveyu v'leka." It's called the Sefer Torah minumar. It's like a leopard. Namely, that you open the Sefer Torah, certain words are the ink is thick, and certain words the ink is thin. Certain words the ink stands out. Certain words the ink doesn't stand out. That's pasul. In other words, the Gemara says that's pasul. Isaacheli va'anveyu, aesthetics is lechatchila. So here we see that within the world of writing a Sefer Torah, the concept of Sefer Torah menumar, the zekeli va'anveyu is built into the mitzvah itself. And the third example was in the world of mila, that we know that a mila is docha Shabbos. Within the mila, there are parts of the mila, parts of the foreskin that are called the tzitzin, parts of the foreskin that have to be removed. They're ma'akvin, v'yesh tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, namely that the fullest level of mila, the zekeli va'anveyu of mila, would be to remove those as well. But if you don't, the mila is still kosher. The question is, on Shabbos, when a moel is doing a moel, is he allowed to remove the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin? Should he only do the minimum, or is he allowed to even to do the maximal mila? So the Gemara says, as long as he is in the act of cutting, he can do the maximal mila. Only if he stopped and raised his hand, and he sees that there is still tzitzin shein ma'akvin, he should wait until Motzei Shabbos. He shouldn't do that on Shabbos. But what's the heter on Shabbos? To do the tzitzin shein ma'akvin, even if it's in the same maisa. The heter is that, you know, it's... So the Gemara says, zekeli va'anveyu. But zekeli va'anveyu is l'chatchila. How can it be matir Achilul Shabbos? So the answer is that this is part and parcel of the mitzvah. As long as you're doing it all in one fell swoop, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah. Hamal calls manchu who osik b'mila choser ben altsitzin ha'ma'akvin es hamila ben altsitzin she'ein ma'akvin es hamila. Piresh, if you lifted your hand, so then already you finished the mila minimally gamarnu. What's the makar? Zekeli va'anveyu. Okay, so we have two types of zekeli va'anveyu. One of which is a ma'akev, and one of which is not a ma'akev. Which are we speaking about in our sugya when we're speaking about ad shlish? What does Rashi say in our sugya? Behidur mitzvah ad shlish sheim motzei shnei sifrei Torah liknot ve'echad hadur mechavero yosef shlish hadamim v'yikach et ha'hadur. The Tanya zekeli va'anveyu is not lefanav b'mitzvahs. He's dealing with the lechatchila. We're talking over here about the lechatchila. That's what we're talking about in our sugya. That's point number one. Point number two, in terms of the overview of hidur mitzvah, is that which we find in the Brisker Rav, in the Chidushi Hagriz al Harambam, that the Brisker Rav finds a machlokas within the world of Chanukah. With the world of Chanukah, we have the world of Hidur Mitzvah. Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Minha Mahadrin, a machlokes between the Mechaber, I'm sorry, a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramoah, between the Rambam and the Ramoah, and he wants to explain what's going on over here in this machlokes by pointing out that this is a machlokes in terms of the nature of Hidur Mitzvah. What's the machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramoah? So if one looks at the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Dalet, beginning of the Perek, Kama Neiros Umadlik B'Chanukah, Mitzvasa, the basic mitzvah, Shie Kobayis V'Bayis Madlik Ner Echad. Right? In other words, the concept of Ner Ishu Beso, Ben Shayu Anshay Bayis Merubin, Ben Shayu Ba'el Adam Echad, let's say. B, the next level, Hamahader, Madlik Neiros Kaminyan Anshay Beso. Ner v'kol echad be'echad bein anashim bein nashim. If there are five people in the room, so then every night of Hanukkah you light five candles. The Iker mitzvah is to light one candle every night of Hanukkah. The Hidur is according to the number of people who are in the home. V'hamahader yose aze v'ose mitzvah min amuvchar. Someone who wants to go up to the level of Mahadrin and Mena Mahadrin. Madlik ner b'kol echad ve'echad b'layla harishon u'mosif v'holech b'chol layla v'layla ner echad. Keitzad harish ayu anshe abayis asara. So the first night you light 10, the second night 20, until the last night you light 80 candles. That's the concept of the Mahadrin mena Mahadrin according to the Rambam. Namely that we have one individual who's lighting. The Mahadrin is he lights with a factor of the people in the house, and the Mahadrin and Mahadrin, there are two factors, the people in the house and the night of Chanukah. But it remains one person lighting. Comes along the Ramah and says, V'yesh omrim kol echa mibnei habayis yadlik. V'cheina minag pashut. That, in other words, that everyone should light according to the nights of the of Chanukah. In the end, in Achenam, you'll have 80 candles, but you won't have 80 candles in one huge Chanukiah. You will have 10 Chanukiot, each of which will have 8 candles. So the question is, what's going on over here in this? Why did the Rambam insist on saying that you have one individual? Why did the Ramah understand that everyone should light? In other words, what's the basis of this machlokas? So the Brisker Rav says, we have a similar machlokas in Hilchos Mila, and from that we can see the concept that we have over here by Chanukah. What machlokas do we have in Hilchos Mila? The Rambam quotes that Gemara that we saw in Shabbos in terms of the Tzitzin and writes, Hamal calls a man she'ozek b'mila chozer ben al tzitzin hama'akvin ben al tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin. Piresh al tzitzin ma'akvin chozer al tzitzis she'ein ma'akvin eino chozer. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah over there says, "Im hu b'chol lechatzchila yitol kol atzitzinim ha'gadol mafilu she'enan ma'akvin." Namely, the Rambam quotes that Gemara having nothing to do with Shabbos. It's a din in Mila. It's a din in Mila that if you are mal on a Tuesday and you were mal the tzitzin hama'akvin and you picked up your hand, you don't go back for the tzitzis she'enan ma'akvin on Tuesday. As long as you're cutting, you can cut the tzitzin shein ma'akvin as well. The Ramah says, what are you talking about? If it's Tuesday, so even if you picked up your hand, keep cutting. You know, whereas what's the big, why not? And with Shabbos, we have an issue. If it's not Shabbos, why should there be an issue? But the Rambam learns that Gemara, Kolzman, nothing to do with Shabbos. So the question is, what's the machlokas over here, whether the issue of tzitzis she'ein ma'akvin is pirish, lo pirish, and during the weekday, what's going on? So the Brisker Rav sets a theory. His theory, and in other words, that with two examples of the theory, that according to the Rambam, Hidur mitzvah is a din within the ma'aseh mitzvah. It has to be within the ma'aseh mitzvah. If you already completed the ma'aseh mitzvah, then there's no longer a din of Hidur. So the Rambam says, that, in other words, that if the basic mitzvah is near issue based, so I can expand within that ma'isa mitzvah, add another 10 candles, add another 79 candles. I can add as much as I want, but it's only if I'm doing it. For someone else, what, that I should do the mitzvah, and then someone else will do a heder mitzvah? That there's no such thing as a heder mitzvah standing on its own. Hu hadin in terms of the world of Mila. While I'm cutting the Iker mitzvah of Mila, I could add in the heder mitzvah of the tzitzin chain ma'akvin. Once I finish the Iker mitzvah, that then I should go and cut the other part, that's that. There's no concept of heder unless it is part and parcel of the ma'asa mitzvah. Mashenken, according to the Ramah, ma'pitam, heder mitzvah has nothing to do with the ma'asa mitzvah. It has to do with the totza'ah, with the result, not with the action. As long as the bottom line is that the mila is the most mehuder mila. So during the week where there's no issue of chilul Shabbos, do the most mehuder mila. If there is a break of a half hour between the beginning and the end of the mila, who cares? It's still a hidur. Hu adin in terms of Chanukah, the ikar is that the house have a hidur mitzvah in it. My nafkamina, if it's the person, the balabayas who is lighting, or the bnei babayas who are lighting, or both of them are lighting. In other words, the hidur mitzvah and the mitzvah do not have to be linked one to the other. Okay, so we have these two hakdamas to the world of hidur mitzvah. A, we have a concept of hidur mitzvah which is a lechatchila, and we have a concept of a hidur mitzvah which is a ma'akev. B, we have a machlokes rishonim, according to the Briska Rav, as to whether hidur mitzvah has to be specifically within the mitzvah, or the hidur mitzvah can also accompany the result of the mitzvah, but not necessarily be part and parcel of the ma'isa mitzvah itself. Okay, with those hakdamos, yes?
Just to go back, I think the Rambam holds that by Hanukkah one person should light.
Only one person should light, because then the additional lighting is part and parcel of his ma'isa mitzvah. In other words, instead of lighting one, he's lighting five. Instead of lighting one, he's lighting 80. In other words, that
he should light for everyone.
What?
He should light for everyone.
In other words, that were anyone else to light, that second lighting would be pure heder, because the original mitzvah was already done by the Baal HaBayis. There's no such thing as a heder in absentia. There's no such thing as a heder in a vacuum. A heder has to be an expansion of the ma'isa mitzvah itself. Once the ma'isa mitzvah has been completed, that's it. There's no longer room for hidur. And therefore, once the mila, once the tzitzin hama'akvin have been cut, there's no longer room for hidur unless it's going to be a continuity of the same ma'isa, even on Tuesday, not necessarily having anything to do with the world of chilul Shabbos. Okay. So now let's go back to our Gemara. Boi Rabbi Ashi, I'm sorry. Elam Rav Zeira, b'hidur mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. 99% of Rishonim understood that which Usha, that which Takanas Usha did, according to Tosfos, to the world of mitzvos, that's what Rabbi Zeira is doing to the world of hidur mitzvah. Namely, just as the Takanas Usha put a glass ceiling on how much you pay for a mitzvah, or in the words of the Ravid and the Rashba, what's considered to be an ones mamam that'll pater you from a mitzvah asay? So Rabbi Zeira gave us a shear of what's the level of ones mamam that will pater you from a hidur mitzvah. Right? In other words, that the hidur mitzvah is going to be a shlish. The mitzvah, we have a chomesh. The hidur mitzvah, we have a shlish. And that's the way it's paskin by the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch. Imkona esrog sheroi lotzeis bo betzimtzum, kagon shehi kebeitza mitzumtzemes, achar kach matza godol mimenu, mitzvah lahosif ad shlish bidmei harishon, kedei lachlifo biyoser na'a. That we're talking over here about up to what should you spend to turn your mitzvah into a mitzvah mehuderet. Where we do have machlokot, according to these 99% of Rishonim, is what criteria are we using to determine the shlish? Is this an objective criteria or a subjective criteria? Right? In other words, that which I just read in the Shulchan Aruch, that's Tosfos, Perush, She'im Matzah Esrog Ke'egos, assuming that's the minimal size of an Esrog, Kamosha Shiru Chachamim, Ve'echad Godlam Yemenu Shlish Yiknehu. The Shlish is above the minimum objective standard of the mitzvah. Masha Ein Kein, what is the alternative to that Perush? What is the alternative to that perish? What does Rashi say? Shlish, right? In other words, that if we have two Sifrei Torah, one is more Mehudar, we have two Esrogim, one of them is nicer, namely that we're dealing with a subjective standard compared to what I have in my hand. So that, the in other words, that Machlokas is quoted over here in Shulchan Aruch. First, the Shulchan Aruch brings the Rabbeinu Tam, brings Tosus and the Rosh, that's one issue. The second issue is that we have a boy Rabbi Ashi. When we want to be Mishar the Shlish, is it Milagav or Shlish Milabar? In other words, is this Shlish, in other words, a third, or is it or is it a half? In other words, how do you? In other words, that's only a shlish. Once you add it in, then it's a shlish. Is it milgav or milabar? So that's also a machlokas rishonim. How we paskin? The Rabbi Nochananel says that we go after also the teku v'avdinan lechumra milabar. That we view it as a chumra on the individual. Namely, that we raise the glass ceiling to even a half. And Masha Ein Kein has pointed out already on the bottom that the Rosh Paskins, no, we have a teku, it's milagav, that we take, we go lakula. What's the machokas over here, whether within a teku you go lakula or you go lachumra? So the Pilpula Charifta has a very cute explanation. He says that we're dealing over here with a world of Safek. In the world of Safek, in Doraisa we go Lachumra, and Drabanan we go Lakula. What is the world of Hidur Mitzvah? Is it a Doraisa or is it a Drabanan? We have a Pasuk, Zekeli Vanveyu, but is it an Asmachta or is it a Mamish, an Iker Drasha? Okay, so those who learn Sukkah, that's Machokas Rishonim in Sukkah. It's Machokas between the Ritva and the Ravid in Sukkah, and the Sugi and Daf Yud Aleph. Okay, that's the second issue that we have over here. But I mentioned that 99% of the Rishonim learned this way. Namely, that the issue of Rav Ashi, of Rabbi Zeira, I'm sorry, the Hidur Mitzvah, Atzlish Mitzvah, that this goes in accordance with the previous Gemara, that there's a ceiling on how much you spend, just that we have a different standard for how much you spend on a mitzvah. On a mitzvah assay per se, and how much you spend on the Hidur mitzvah. Why did I say 99% of the Rishonim? What?
Tosfos.
Which Tosfos? Meaning
Tosfos is mainly about the size, no?
No, he's still, we're still dealing, but size, in other words, is, I meant, in other words, that we're dealing over here with, let me put it a little differently. We're dealing with a price tag, namely that you want to say the Tosfos. At the moment, dealing with this, I learned Tosfos that it's an issue with this objective standard, a third more objectively or a third more subjectively. If you learn it objectively, it's still within the object. Okay. But even with Tosfos, in other words, it's still within the realm of one mitzvah replacing another mitzvah. It's still within that realm. Which Rishon, it's really not a fair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Which Rishon is the 1% that disagrees with all of this, everything we've said, that really Rav Zeira has nothing to do with a chiyuv, or a cap on replacing A with B, on raising the ante of a mitzvah. Look at the Ein Mishpat near Mitzvah. Where is Rabbi Zeira found? Where do we find the din of Hidur Mitzvah at Shlish B'Mitzvah? No, Aleph and Beis, where do we find it? The Smag and the Tur. And what's missing?
Rambam.
No Rambam. Rambam doesn't quote Rabbi Zeira. The Rambam doesn't quote this halacha. And nowhere. not in the world of Esrog, not in the world of Matnosaniyah, nowhere does he quote Rabbi Zeira. But how can the Rambam just ignore Gemara?
Well, doesn't he also think he hasn't the Brisa of Zekil and Abed? He doesn't bring that on Brisa, does he? I say Sefer Torah, no, and since it's the night.
Hmm. Is that true?
I think he references, like, you know, by I think that she talks about Kol Chila, that it should be good carbon by Sukkah.
Rambam Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Zalid, Perek Zayin Hilchos Lulav Halacha Vav. Okay, he does quote it. Okay. No, the Rambam does have the din of Zekeli Vanveyu, but the Gemara continues that there's another understanding of Rabbi Zeira. B'ma'arava am Rabbi Shmeid Rabbi Zeira. In other words, that Rabbi Zeira had, there was one tradition how to understand Rabbi Zeira in Bavel, and another tradition how to understand Rabbi Zeira in Eretz Yisrael. B'ma'arava am Rabbi Shmeid Rabbi Zeira ad shlish. When Rabbi Zeira said Hidur Mitzvah ad shlish, he wasn't talking about the person, how much the person should be paying, but rather, ad shlish mishalo, mikan ve'elech, mishel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we, over here, simply the question is, how much, to what degree, when you put money into a Hidur Mitzvah, how much of this you expect to get back in Olam Hazeh? So, you know, and so that's, not, you know, so the Rambam doesn't speak about Olam Skar B'Olam Hasa in the Mishnah Torah. But L'chora, that's how he understood Rabbi Zeira. He didn't ignore Rabbi Zeira. He just understood that, you know, we have over here two Lashonos in the Gemara after how to understand Rabbi Zeira. We have one Lashon Rabbi Zeira is talking about money or sizes of to what degree does a person have to add to get a larger object of mitzvah. And the Rambam says, no, I don't understand Rabbi Zeira in that respect. I understand Rabbi Zeira like Ma'arava, like the second Lashon of the Gemara. The Rambam always paskins like the Ika Damrei within the Gemara, that Rabbi Zeira was not talking at all about how much the person should spend, but rather, the person can spend whatever he wants to do a mitzvah. There's no separate limit for Hidur Mitzvah. But the question is simply how much does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him a return in Olam Hazeh? What okay, so just be aware that you know that the Rambam doesn't quote the halacha in this halacha in the Mishnah Torah. Now it's kind of rare that the world of Hidur Mitzvah comes under the same principle that we saw in the Rambam in Hilchos Erchin. That you know up to Amavazves Al Yavazves Yosar Mechomesh, that would include the Hidur Mitzvah, and going beyond that would be the Chassid Shelta. What would be the rationale of the Ma'arava? In other words, in the Ma'arava, they understood that Rabbi Zeira was speaking about how much you should expect back from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how in this world, and how much you should wait until Olam Haba to get your schar? Why at all should HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you schar in this world? You know, this is not a world of schar. With the schar, we have schar mitzvah b'hayal maleka. The world of schar is Olam Ha'emes. The Rambam himself says that in this world, all the brachos in the Torah, they're not schar. They're just mitzvah goreres mitzvah. That if you do mitzvah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you opportunities to do more mitzvos, and by having nasati gishmechem deitam, etc., you'll have more opportunity to do mitzvos. You'll have more yishuv adat v'chulei v'chulei. Why over here would we have an exception that a Kosh Baruch would give you schar ba'olam hazeh? So most Rishonim understand l'chora like Rabbeinu Chananel. Look at Rabbeinu Chananel, the first Rabbeinu Chananel. Marava Amri Atshlish Mishalo Klomar. Muzhar hu lehitnaot b'mitzvah ad shlish, mikan ve'elech im mosif yeser al hashlish, mida yesera ose, kagon hamafarnes oni umosif lo yeter, shenimtza chinano, ve'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach scharo, ela meshalim lo gmulo. Mishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar malve Hashem chonen dal. Upashadu. Namely, that a person who goes, lefnim mishuras sadim, and just as we saw that the Rambam Paskin and the Perish Mishnayos and the world of Tztaka, you can go lefnim mishuras sadim, you can do alpi midas chasidus, hu hadin, in the world of Hidur mitzvah, you can also go lefnim mishuras sadim, and if you go lefnim mishuras sadim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pats you on the head, and he'll say, that lefnim mishuras hadin, I will pay you back even in this world. In other words, kiilu, you borrowed, and I'll pay you back. Malva Hashem chonein dal, the person who is the chonein dal, the person who goes above and beyond to be chonein the dal and gives him beyond the amount that he had to, that he's the gomel chasadim with the midas chasidus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay him back. That's the uniqueness over here. We went lifnim mishuras hadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go lifnim mishuras hadin. The din is that we get sachar ba'olam ha'emes. But if we go lifnim mishuras hadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go lifnim mishuras hadin and give us a schar even in this world. However, Rabbeinu Chananel has another understanding which relates to that which we dealt with in the beginning of Shir. So just mention it to Yaakov Tellus. When he comes back. Davar Acher, another understanding of the Ma'arava, Mikan ve'elech mishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'im ba lahader ha-mitzvah b'yeser mishlish midameha, eino chayav, kol zeh, when do we say that there's a glass ceiling, miyigi'o, she'chayav kodmim lehidur mitzvah, that we have a din of v'chay bahem. We have a din, a person shouldn't make himself into an ani. That's from his own income, that which is coming from his hard work. However, if a person gave him a gift of osher, a person's a wealthy individual, he's a billionaire. That's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubikesh lahader hamitzvah biyoser mishlish. Harishus biyado, namely that there's no glass ceilings on Ashirim. In other words, that the glass ceiling is only from ki'ilu, that which you earned. Masha'enkein, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And it's a very interesting way of viewing the difference between middle class and upper class. Right? The middle class person, he has what he earns. The upper class person has what he earns plus what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him that makes him upper class. That gives him more. So on that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, then there's no glass ceiling. On that which you earn, there's a glass ceiling. And on the wealth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, there's no glass ceiling. L'chora, this Rabbeinu Chananel is the makor for what we said earlier, that all these dinim, Amavaz Beis Ali, Vivaz Beis Yosef Michomesh, Hidur Mitzvah Atshlish, that's for individuals who are normal middle class individuals. But an Asher, These halachos don't apply. The usher should give as much as possible. That's the understanding of Ma'arava, Mishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The usher is not giving from his own. He's giving from the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. That's expected of him, that he will go over and above. The Chafetz Chaim paskins that way in his Avas Chesed, in Hilchos Tzedaka of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says, we have a din, Ma'aser Ksafim is Mida Benonis. Chomesh is considered mitzvah min amuvchar. That's for a regular person. But an asher borer, he shouldn't be limited by chomesh. He should give everything, yeah?
What we said before, a person who goes to the mishur to the mitzvahs, how does that work with what we said? I think it was the Rambam we said earlier that it's a dashu. Maybe you already said this, but.
Yes.
How do we say that it's a dashu? So that's only by tzedakah, we said before.
The other way around. That by tzedakah you have the right to go beyond.
Right, by tzedakah you have the right. By mitzvahs.
And by mitzvahs we have, in other words, the person has to live with that balance.
Yeah.
So what the second Perush Rabbeinu Chananel is saying is that that is all true for a normal person. But for an ashir, for someone who is a gvir, in other words, his balance is of a different nature. In other words, if he has $10 million, so we don't say that he should only give $2 million to tzedakah. Why should he only give $2 million to tzedakah? Then he'll give $5 million to tzedakah. He'll still have $5 million. In other words, that's already Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him a gabbai on $10 million. He doesn't need $10 million for himself, so he should give much more to tzedakah. Okay, then the Rabbeinu Chananel concludes with what appears to be something totally out of context in our sugya. Rabbeinu Chananel then concludes, Hamahader Hamitzvah Mishubach Kidet Ninan B'ner Chanukah Hamahadrin Ner Lekol Echad VeEchad Hamahadrin Min Hamahadrin V'chule. What over here is Rabbeinu Chananel bringing in a Gemara in Shabbos about Mahadrin, Mahadrin Min Hamahadrin. What does he want to tell us? Hamahader B'mitzvah Mishubach. In other words, it's a good thing to be Mahader B'mitzvahs. I mean, that's, in other words, why bring that Gemara? It's a good thing in Mahadra Mitzvahs we have Gemara. Zekeli van Vehu, Bechulei. What is unique? This is the Brisker Rebbe already points out. What is unique about the nature of Hidur in their Hanukkah as opposed to everything we've been saying up to now? Let's take the minimal Hidur. Let's take the minimal Hidur. Mitzvahs ner ishu beso. Right? So we say the minimal Hidur is if I have two people in the house, I light two candles. Lighting two instead of one, how much did I add? 100%. 100%. Who? We were speaking over here about 20%, about 33%. Who's speaking about 100%? And that's a Gemara not for Akhirin, that's a Gemara for regular people. In other words, and when you add eight candles, so it's 800%. Right? And if you have 10 people in the house and you're lighting 80 candles, that's 8,000%. In other words, so I think what Rabbeinu Chananel was pointing out is that the world of Hidur Mitzvah is a world by its nature maybe the other way around. That since in the world of Hidur Mitzvah we find these concepts of Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mena Mahadrin, therefore HaMahadir B'Mitzvah Mishubach. Namely that even though we said, the Rambam Paskin, that in the world of Mitzvahs we have a glass ceiling, we have this the world of 20%, as HaMavaz Beis Ayavaz Beis Yosar Michomesh. However, in the world of Hidur Mitzvah there would be a shevach to go beyond it. That this is a place where there is a concept of midat chasidut. In other words, that we see, in other words, we point out, the Rambam says in the world of tzedakah there's a midat chasidut. Other mitzvahs, no. So he comes along the Rebbeinu Chananel and says, it's true, other mitzvahs, no. But in the world of Hidur mitzvah, there, yes. That, in other words, that's what we see from Ner Hanukkah, that even though we would normally have a cutoff point of shlish, that's a mitzvah, but there's a mishubach of going beyond that that we can see from Ner Hanukkah that one shouldn't feel that is simply a chassid shota. That's considered to be a chassid. Okay, that which was his first pshat in the Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if you go lifnei mishuras adin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu go lifnei mishuras adin, that he proves from the world of Ner Chanukah, that one can go beyond the world of the Shir. Okay, so just to summarize the sugya, we saw that in the world of mitzvos, we have a price tag for mitzvos that is based on ones mamon for a regular person. That he shouldn't bring himself to become poor, and the onus mamon is defined as anything beyond 20%. What if he wants to go beyond the 20%? So in the world of mitzvahs, we saw the Rambam says you shouldn't, you'd be a chassid shota. However, in the world of tzedakah, there you can. When we come to the world of hidur mitzvah, according to most Rishonim, we have a parallel concept, just with a different shear of shlish instead of chomesh. The Rambam doesn't bring that at all. In terms, it doesn't bring it, you know, it's as any price tag. In terms of can you go beyond it, so Rabbeinu Hananel says, not only you can, but if possible, you should. You don't have to, but you can, and you should, and that's what we see from the concept of Ner Chanukah, that we can go beyond the third, and that's the concept of Mishal HaKadosh Baruch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you go with the Mishra Sadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would go with the Mishra Sadin. All of this entire world of having standards, to whom do these standards apply? So the Dover Acher, Rabbeinu Hananel, points out that these standards apply to a normal person, not to an usher. An usher should not feel in any way bound by these standards that we view as, from a Hashkafic perspective, his wealth is Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was given to him as a gabbai to hand out, not to keep for himself. He's not going to reach a level, there's no onus mamon of a chomesh by an usher. Okay. I just want to explain to you why we're moving to the second parak instead of continuing, if you can just pass this out. Now, as I mentioned to you in the first year, beginning of the year, that what I wanted to accomplish with you is to build a building of Avos Nezikin, to start with a foundation and then to try and add and add and add and add. And that's what we were pretty much doing from Daf Beis until Daf Vav. When we hit Daf Vav, we moved into the sugya of Meitav. We sort of moved off of the world of the Avos Nezikin, but I didn't feel proper, and I like to skip. You know, it's all one Mishnah from Daf Beis until Daf Tes. I didn't feel proper skipping, and so we spent quite a bit of time dealing with sugyas of payments that morphed over even today into the world of payment for mitzvahs. However, from Daf Tes until the end of the first perek, which is another seven blat, eight blat, the amount of time which is spent on the Arba Avos Nezikin is sachakol about a blat dealing with Shor, Tam, and Muad, dealing with the world of Keren. That I think we can pick up in the second parak as well. But there's no discussion of all the other avos, of Shane and Regel and Ash, etc. So to continue our discussion of those avos, I'd like to move to Daf Yud Zayin and then go straight. And in that way, to keep my word that I would like to, to use this year to try and understand as best as possible the Avos Nezikin. So that's, where I was going back and forth and spoke to Rav Bednarsh. He'll continue straight. So those of you who want to, be bifocal, you can be, you can continue straight as well. And, you'll have Rav Bednarsh as shiurim. I feel I just want to keep my word to you that, and I don't think I would be doing that by continuing to go straight. It would, again, it's one blot. And just to pick out those Gemaras with a tweezer, I don't feel comfortable. It's a Gemara. There's a Gemara that says that one shouldn't make one's learning a little from here and a little from here and a little from there. Crying. Firstly, we're going to forget it. And secondly, it's sort of, who are we to decide this is important, this isn't important, etc. But since we're not going to finish the Masechta anyway, so I just would rather do sections. I don't view that as crying. In other words, from Daf Beis to Daf Tes is a section dealing with the first Mishnah that I think we learned, my humble opinion, pretty well. And to start, continue in that manner from Daf Yud Zayin for as long as the Kosh Baruch Hu will, whatever we'll accomplish until the middle of June, with a break for Bechinas. Okay, so that's my mindset. So. Some of it will be familiar. In other words, we'll be repeating a few factors that we discussed earlier, but hopefully there'll be new material as well in terms of that which we'll see for this coming Sunday, and then we'll move more into the world of Tzroros in a much broader manner. Okay, listen.